Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am actually re-recording this episode. Interesting thing, this morning I recorded this episode. It was 1 hour and 14 minutes long, and I go to play it back and listen. And y'all, it only recorded the first like 5 minutes. The microphone must have died. Something happened, but it did not catch the audio. So we are re-recording this episode today, and this episode today has been, it's coming with a lot of spiritual opposition, in all honesty, y'all. Not only did the video like not record, did the audio not take, but ever since then, our topic today is overcoming fear and understanding that God did not give us a spirit of fear, and how to overcome fear as followers of Christ. And when I tell you that I have gotten hit with just fear and anxiety today out the wazoo. Like my brain feels overwhelmed, overloaded. And I know when I was going to bed last night, I felt the Lord put this message on my spirit and to talk about this today. And I just feel like it's coming along with so much opposition, y'all, to just kind of, because honestly, I'm not like in the mood to re-record an episode. I've went ahead and I didn't even plan on re-recording. I planned on going about my day. I went ahead and there was a video that I posted on TikTok that I felt led to post on there. I spent like 1.5 hours cooking and was just trying to vibe out. And once I was relaxing, sitting down, I was like, you know what? I need to record this podcast episode. And that is our topic today, is overcoming fear as a Christian. And I will tell y'all that I personally believe that the devil, we know that the devil doesn't have new tricks. He recycles things, okay? He's not creative, he's not a creator. And you'll find that the devil will recycle old tricks and tactics to use against you. And one of the big ones that he has tried to use against me throughout my life is fear. Fear, anxiety, worry. He loves to play in the what ifs. And recently, I had felt like I really got over the spirit of fear. And recently, the Lord had been revealing to me in areas in my life where I had been giving in to the spirit of fear. And He had helped me to overcome that. And honestly, y'all, I know that this isn't the last time that fear is going to try to come at me. I believe for the rest of my life, there are going to be moments where the enemy tries to use fear to stop me from doing what God has called me to do, to stop me from carrying out an assignment, to stop me from bringing other people closer to the kingdom of heaven. That is what the devil loves to do, is he's opposition. He is the father of lies, and his purpose is to lie, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, I was having this discussion with a person yesterday when they said, they're like, it seems like every time I do something right, everything just gets worse. And y'all, I'm speaking from experience of honestly, when you are obeying God and you are saying yes and you are moving in what God has called you to, that is the time when the enemy is going to attack you the most. The enemy is not going to attack you when you're not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. But when you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness, yeah, he's going to turn it up. He's going to amp it up. And in all honesty, y'all, I have seen the spiritual warfare increase recently like crazy the second I started sharing more testimonies. The past week or so has really been upped in sharing testimonies. And it was when I started sharing my sobriety testimony that the warfare has gone crazy. Like, I have gotten a lot of confirmations from the Lord that that was what I was supposed to share, and his approval on that one. But soon after, I faced a lot of opposition, a lot of doubt trying to come at me, a lot of fear trying to come at me. And I know it's because the Lord is moving. The Lord is moving in amazing ways. And the devil hates that. Y'all, just to give you a little bit of examples of the confirmations that the Lord has given me, the past couple of days, it's like I have been hearing it almost everywhere when I'm just trying to watch TV or I'm turning on, I'm scrolling through things. This has been following me everywhere. It seemed like everywhere I opened something up, someone was talking about freedom and bondage being broken. And I was trying to overlook it, but it was crazy how frequently that kept coming up. And I kept getting pulled back to the scripture where who the Son sets free is free indeed. And honestly, I was a little bit just overwhelmed the other day and decided to go out and take a walk. And there's this place that I decided to drive to park at because they have a really nice like nature area, but they're also like a museum area. And they often have different people coming in for different kinds of events. And when I pulled in the parking lot, there was a giant bus there that said Freedom Bus. And on the side of it were pictures of Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King and JFK and different prominent figures. And when I was on my walk and coming back to my car and driving home, and praying to the Lord, I felt it overwhelmingly put on my spirit that something had been broken off of me in sharing my testimony, that there was a freedom that I was stepping into. And when I think about it, y'all, for so long, I did not share my sobriety testimony out of fear. I was fearful of, number one, how it would affect what I have going on in my life now. I was like, how is it going to affect, like, that there are a lot of areas in my life right now that can be affected by what I say on social media, right? And friendships and connections and different things. I was first thinking, how is like this going to impact that? But honestly, y'all, there was a spirit of fear that had been following me in regards to my sobriety testimony for a very long time. Because when I was really working through things, there were a lot of false accusations, lies, and rumors going around about me. I was very clear that my problem was mainly with THC, marijuana, and alcohol. But I know that while I was dealing with that and going through that, there were rumors that I was doing different things. I'll just say that plainly, that there was just like a lot of lies and a lot of misconception. And especially when I wasn't loudly speaking the truth, lies were allowed to really fester. And I was nervous to even publicly acknowledge that I ever had a sobriety problem because I didn't want to add any type of validation to the lies, to the rumors, to the misunderstandings. I felt I had a fear that me even acknowledging that I ever had a problem could be accidentally verifying lies. So I just decided to not speak about it in general. And the Lord had really revealed to me that in my choosing not to speak about it, that was a bondage, that I was bound by fear, and that there was a testimony for me to share. Glory be to God that there are so many people out in the world right now dealing with things that I dealt with in regards to sobriety. There are some people out there who are going to listen to my testimony who didn't think that they had a problem before and recognize that there is a problem there. There are going to be people who didn't before think that Jesus could deliver them and hear of my deliverance. People who didn't before make the connections that when they listen to a testimony, I don't know exactly how God is working or moving, but I know that that testimony is going to be working and moving in people's lives. Glory be to God. And he's revealed to me that, like, in my fear, I was keeping in a gift from him, a blessing from him. What he did for me, I should have been wanting to scream that from the rooftops and tell everybody and their mama. But because of fear of how it would affect me and how it would impact me, I didn't. And when I look back, the Lord was using the spirit of fear throughout, like the enemy was using the spirit of fear, and the Lord was trying to break that off of me like my entire life. Because we know that fear doesn't come from the Lord. Fear and anxiety, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Okay? The fear, the anxiety, the paranoia, the worry, that's not from the Lord. That's not from the Lord. And I am someone who dealt with my entire life anxiety. I would get so caught up in the what ifs when I tell y'all that when I would be faced with a scenario or a situation, I would think through every single possible outcome and what I would do in every single situation. Like, I used to be that person that I would literally for hours think through every possible scenario and plan for every possible scenario. Before I would make a step, before I would say a word, I would think about how the trickle effect. Like, I would think about the ripple effect that it could have. I would be thinking, okay, how is this going to affect what's going on right around me, and how does that affect a week from now, a month from now, a year from now? And the fear would honestly paralyze me. when I would start thinking about all the possibilities, it would make me too scared to say anything or do anything. It would keep me in a comfortable space. And I look back now and I realize that the devil, the enemy, was using fear to keep me from stepping out in faith. He was keeping me from making any changes that the Lord was trying to call me to make in my life. Fear had me bound so much that that people didn't have to buy me. The fear itself was enough to prevent me from saying things or doing things. The fear of looking stupid was always a really big one I had of, well, what if I say this and they think I'm stupid? What if I say this and it doesn't make sense? What if I say this and it doesn't land? That was the biggest one. I was so fearful of looking stupid or of being a clown and things like that. That sometimes I would cut things off prematurely or end things prematurely before they should have been ended. There were times I remember I used to, all the time when I was dating, I had a real problem with, I would cut people off before they cut me off. When I felt like someone was losing interest or felt like someone was doing something behind my back, I would end it with them before they'd end it with me, out of fear of looking stupid. And I never actually would go through and verify things. And there are times when I look back and I'm like, dang, I wonder how many times, I know glory be God, if he wanted me to stay in those connections or in those relationships, I would have stayed in those, you know. But I do think back of like, I wonder how many times I exited situations prematurely, maybe before the Lord could reveal something to me or before a lesson was to be learned due to my fear or my anxiety. How many situations was he trying to bless, or could there have been a breakthrough, but because of my fear or my anxiety, I left early? How many rooms did I leave early before I was meant to leave? How many times did I walk right into the enemy's trap, right into his plot, plan, and scheme because of the fear? I'm telling y'all right now that God isn't whispering those fearful things into your ear. Will he warn you? Yeah, but he's not sitting there just whispering in your ear all these things to make you scared and anxious all day. That's not from God. And I'm going to give y'all the biggest tip right now that really helped me is learn how to step into your authority that Jesus Christ gave you. When you're covered in the blood of Jesus, you can step into your authority and take these intrusive thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Silence every single voice that is not the Father, not the Son, not the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Silence those voices. Take the intrusive thoughts and voices captive and make them obedient to Christ. You cast them out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And say that as many times as you need to say that. And it's so important to remind yourself of God's character and God's word. That's why it's so important that you are biblically literate. And by that, I mean that you are frequently reading scripture and praying for an understanding. Okay? Because the enemy will come in and he'll whisper lies that sometimes sound like scripture, that sometimes sound holy. So that's why it's important for you to know the word of God, so that way you can hold the word of God up to whatever thought is being planted in your mind and say, that is not from the Lord. You know, for example, I know that scripture says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know, there are sometimes when the devil likes to whisper in my ear and say, this is going to swallow you up. This is going to take you down. There's no coming out against it. This weapon looks really big. And that's when I have to remind myself, God never said they wouldn't form. He did warn me that weapons would form, but he did say that they won't prosper, meaning they won't last. And when the devil tries to remind me of who I was in the past and tell me that, you know, you can't come back from this, you can't come back from that, I remind myself that who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the devil's whispering at me in my ear, trying to convince me to do something greedy or gluttonous. And I remind myself that scripture says that I must deny myself, take up my cross, and carry it. It is so important to know scripture. It is so important to know the word of God. We see that the devil quoted and twisted, manipulated scripture to Jesus when he was being tempted. But Jesus knew the context, and he knew the character of the Heavenly Father. And he knew that throwing himself down and putting God to the test would have been sinful. It's so important to know the character of God, and you know that through spending time with him and spending time in his word. I'm telling y'all today that even today, fear has tried to come at me. And I have had to make the active choice today, honestly, to continue to get in scripture, to say prayers, to remind myself of what the Lord says, what His word says, to remind myself that God did not give me a spirit of fear, and to remind myself that the opposition and that the warfare is a sign to keep going and is a sign that I am doing exactly what God is calling me to do and to not stop. Y'all, I want to talk to you about what happens when one of your fears is realized, because I've recently experienced that. One of the reasons why I was nervous about sharing my sobriety testimony is, in all honesty and sharing it, I have to talk about my early childhood. Because in all honesty, there were a lot of adults in my life that weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing for me as a dependent and as a child. And for the longest time, I was so fearful or worried about sharing those testimonies because I didn't want to start drama. I didn't want to start any ripple effects. I've shared in previous testimonies that when I was younger, and when I would try to express to adults around me that they're not giving me what I need emotionally, that, like, my pain and my emotions are being caused by some of their actions, they would get very defensive and they would turn into, I didn't mean to. What do you expect me to do about it? I'm not the problem. Or I would feel guilty, or they would purposely misunderstand me, or it would just get to a point where it was like it was more harm than good bringing up their actions. It would always get flipped on me. I'd be made to feel guilty. I'd be made to feel some type of way, right? And I was worried for the longest time, honestly, of like sharing the testimony and thinking, how are they gonna feel? Because I'm not blaming it on them, but I am saying that things could have gone differently if they would have done what they were supposed to be doing, in all honesty. And I, for the longest time, would not say that. And I was taking full, like, when people would look at me types of way and act types of way, and I would allow the people who were adults in my life at that time to portray it like they were perfect or however they wanted to portray it. I just let things happen and took the brunt of it. And I felt the Lord tell me so many times over and really reveal to me that the only people that my silence is protecting is them. That it's my silence and my lack of telling the truth is keeping me in bondage, is keeping me in a place of shame, is keeping me in the place of fear. And to allow God to guide my steps when it comes to sharing my truth, sharing what I've experienced, what has happened to me, why I am the way I am. I am allowing God to guide me in what I share, when I share it, how I share it. Glory be to God, He's helping me through it. But yeah, I had worries of like, well, are they going to listen to it and get angry and get upset? Are they going to try to make me feel guilty? Like, what's the reaction going to be? I knew either way, if God has told me to do something or say something, I'm not taking it down for nobody. So I'd already recognized when I recorded that and posted it and had these confirmations from the Lord, it doesn't matter who says what, I'm keeping it up. And unless God tells me to take it down, to remove it, to something, it's staying up. I obey Him over man. And that, honestly, that fear was realized, because there was one person that I love dearly, and I know that they're trying in their relationship with the Lord. But when they heard that, they got really fearful and anxious. And they said to me very quickly, can I get in trouble for not like taking care of you? What if someone turns me in for this? And I kind of looked at them and thought, well, it was well over a decade ago. I think you're fine. But that was all that they fixated on, was them and how it's going to affect them and how it's going to impact them. And honestly, y'all, I felt some type of way, and I looked at them and I said, like, isn't it weird how right now you're listening to my testimony for the first time? You're hearing this, but all you're thinking about is how this may negatively impact you. Like, how do you think that makes me feel? This is such a big step for me. How do you think that makes me feel? And I kind of left it that way. And the Lord is helping in the situation. It's good. We're fine now. It's good. But that was a moment of my fear and my worry being realized. And I always look back and think, okay, maybe I could have handled that better, handled that better. And I do feel like my reaction, I could have handled that a little bit better in that situation. But what I did is, instead of going back and forth or getting angry or upset, I kind of went my separate ways for a little while with that person and gave each other some space, and was kind after that. And When I look at it, I'm like, okay, that was handled a lot better than ways I would have handled it in the past. And I was able to look at some of the good and some of the things that maybe I could improve upon more. But I think the big thing with that is I didn't backslide. I didn't start thinking, maybe I should take it down. And that's the way I would have in the past. I would have been like, well, if it's that much drama, like I'll just take it down. If it makes you that scared, I'll take it down for you. I would have gone against what I know God led me to do to please other people out of a space of fear. And this was a time where it was like, no, I need to stand on what God told me to do. Amen. I need to. I know that He has called me to do this. I know He's confirmed it. No matter who's feeling some type of way, I have to trust in Him over what I fear with other people. And it brings me mentally back to that scripture of don't fear the one who can kill the body. Like, fear the one who can kill the body and the soul, meaning don't fear people who can only hurt you, like that physical, like that, right? Fear the Lord more, who's in charge of your physical and your soul, right? The people around me, whether or not I please them, don't decide if I have eternity with the Heavenly Father. And this was a real moment of me just having to, honestly, y'all, overcome the fear. I just realized my camera has been sliding sideways. I hope that we caught the audio on that. I'm actually going to check. Right, we're good. See what happened this morning. I feel the fear even operating with that. I was a little traumatized from that this morning. I was looking to make sure I wasn't losing all of our content again as I'm recording it. But yeah, so that was the spirit of fear. Even when I was doing what God called me to do, the devil was still trying to get me to backslide. Because that's the thing, is like the devil, he tries to get you every step of the way before you get to that door. But even when you step through the door, he'll try to grab you by the ankle and pull you back. And this was him trying to grab me by the ankle and pull me back. This was him trying to get me, the second I was rejoicing and being like, yes, I did what God called me to do, the spirit of fear starts creeping up and tries to drag me back. And I felt like I kind of had like kicked the devil in the face. And he was grabbing for my ankle. And that's what today has honestly felt like, is like kind of kick him in the face when I'm trying to break away. I feel like the devil's like grabbing for my ankle, trying to drag me back down, y'all. But I remind myself of Psalm 23, where the Lord leads me by still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. As a reminder to me that whatever warfare I'm facing right now, whatever stress I'm facing right now, whatever anxiety I'm facing right now, it won't last forever. There's going to be a peaceful point that the Lord leads me to where He can restore my soul, where I can be replenished and poured back into, just be restored. So I know that there is something, some good that I will see on the other side of it. But fear, I want to share with y'all a testimony of how fear tried to pull me down a year ago when I was trying to give my life to Christ. Now, y'all, I've shared this testimony before of when I was hitting a point where I was really in my head, where I believe God had told me to leave behind my life of sin and that He was going to provide provision for me to. At the time, I felt like He told me I was going to leave California and go back to Indiana, go back to my hometown. And I had no money to do that. And I was like, okay, God, let's do it. But like, where's the money coming from? Where's the provision coming from? How am I going to do it? And I felt like He told me to seek first the kingdom of heaven and trust that He was going to give me a financial blessing. I multiple times was trying to check out with the Lord of, do you want me to get a job? Do you want me to like start side hustling? Like, do you want me to do something like that? And I really felt the Lord strongly tell me no, because if I do that, I'm going to end up stuck here. I was going to end up stuck in California. If I end up getting a 9 to 5 or anything like that, I was going to end up sticking with it and not leaving when it was time to leave. So to trust that God was going to give me the provision. He had me in the position I needed to be in. I just had to wait on Him. And I was doing that, and I was just reading scripture, and I was trying to seek first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God and His righteousness. And lo and behold, there's some dude that pulls up. And this dude, when I tell y'all that he like literally looks like out of like a cartoon, where he shows up and he has like the spiky blonde hair, and he has like the earring. And he has like a little bit of like the beer belly with like, the tank top on and the sandals. And he's eating a greasy slice of pizza. And he has like this big dog barking in the back. Like, when I tell you, when I look back, it was like almost like I have a cartoon. And he starts making comments of like, "Hey, I see you over here a lot. Like, are you stuck here? What's going on?" And I just knew to be vague with this person and to not give them a lot of information. And the most answer I really gave them is kind of like, "Oh, like I'm here for right now, but you know, I plan on leaving the city soon. I'm just like waiting on getting the funds together and getting a plan together to go." That was the most I left it at. Like, I wanted to be very plain with it. And he started talking to me about different job opportunities, different financial opportunities that started sounding good to me. And I started thinking at first, ooh, is this from God? Is this person, did God send them? Is this person from God? But the more that they started talking about these opportunities, the more I started realizing that each of these opportunities required a compromise or some kind of sin, some kind of backsliding. So I was like, nope. Nope, doing mental checks of nope, I'm not doing that. That requires sin. Nope, I'm not doing that. That requires backsliding. Nope, I'm not doing that. As I checked each box, I was like, nope. And when this guy saw that I really wasn't biting and I wasn't really taking what he was laying down, he had noticed my Bible out in my car, and I had my grandma's rosary hanging in my car. And he started making comments to me about how his mom used to try to tell him about God, but that God isn't going to come through. And that if I'm waiting on God to come and rescue me, it's not going to happen. If I'm waiting on a random blessing or a random miracle, that's not going to happen. And how you have to work and to get your way with anything. And basically telling me that it's okay to do a bad thing now to get out of whatever situation you're in and be good later on, that you can always do good later. And that he used to say he wanted to do good, but when he would get in a situation where it was, you know, if you do something bad, you can get out of that fix real quick, just do it and do good later. And I still rejected everything and was like, nope. And at the end of the day, sent him along his way. And I waited on God. And I actually very soon surrendered my life to Christ after that. And God delivered on the blessings exceedingly and abundantly. But when I look back now, I can see how the devil moves and operates, right? Because at first he was offering me these things, and he could see that I was rooted in what the Lord had told me. The Lord had given me promises saying that he would provide, that he would provide a way out to just wait and trust on him. And see, this guy, I believe that this was the enemy operating through him, their spirits behind. He was trying to offer me all of these different pathways that sounded like provision, that sounded like the blessing. But when I looked at it, it went against the word of God and it went against what he was calling me to do. It was quick fixes and easy way outs that would require moral compromise and things that go against God's law. And when he saw that I was staying rooted in the Lord and saying no, he switched up his tactic and he started to speak fear and he started to speak death over my situation. He started to speak, and it was as if I again, why I say the spirit behind, it was as if he didn't know I was waiting on a miracle from God or a blessing from God. I never said that. But the spirits that monitor, no. The demonic monitoring spirits, no. And it was as if, you know, he had been listening in the whole time. Because he, with things he started saying of God's not real and God's not going to come through, I had just before then, like the past couple of days, had been dealing really bad with mental health things of like, am I really hearing from God or am I going crazy? Am I in a spiritual psychosis or am I really hearing from God? And it was like that right there was speaking to one of my fears. And then he started saying the thing of miracles aren't going to happen. You're not just going to get a blessing and get to get out of here, which was exactly what I was waiting on God for. And it was like death was being spoken over that and fear, trying to get me to doubt what God had said. And then going on to say, you can always, he was like uplifting the compromise again of, well, you can always compromise now and do the bad thing now and do good later. As long as you're doing good, that's what matters, right? I saw how what the devil does is he gets in, y'all, and he tries to plant seed. If he sees that you're not budging or you're not folding and you're not backward moving, what he'll do is then he'll try to hit you with fear and anxiety and worry. And get you to feel like, oh gosh, there's a problem and I need a solution. And then he tries to present you with a solution. Because what I see there was he was trying to get me to doubt that God was going to come through and get me to feel like I needed to create the provision for myself. And if I would have believed that and bought into that, he could have convinced me to take his easy ways out, which were the compromise, which were the sin. Glory be to God. I shut it all out. When I realized that the things he was saying were not Christ-like, I was not listening. Like, I was not allowing them to take root. I was like, whatever you're saying, I'm counting it all off as deception, because I can tell that it's not spirit-filled. I can tell you haven't come from the Lord. So that's enough for me to not validate a single thing you're saying. Glory be to God. He had strengthened my discernment enough at that time. And I wonder if you, listening to this podcast, are you able to look back now and seeing how the devil has been using fear in your life? It's kind of funny how he will literally create the problem. He will whisper lies. He will plant seeds of doubt. He will create the need that you don't actually need. Because I want to be very clear. God had already told me that I didn't need to do anything, that I was just waiting on him. And that was an act of obedience. So what the devil did was he was trying to whisper in my ear, no, you do need to create. You do need to do this. He's not coming through. You do need. He was trying to convince me that I need something that I did not need. And once he can get you to believe that is then when he can get you to be open to solutions that aren't Christ-like solutions. Because then you're in that panic, right? Then you're in that fix-it mode. Then you're in that survival mode. I was someone who spent so long in survival mode, and I felt like that was the devil trying to trigger survival mode in me. So yeah, if y'all even need to pause this podcast and think back, can you identify some areas in your life in which you were listening to God, you were believing in his promises, but then the devil comes through with some lies, with some deception, with some kind of just load of crap, and you find yourself starting to worry and panic because you're starting to believe those lies. I've been there before. I've been there before. But I'm telling y'all that when the devil is doing that is usually when there's something really good on the cusp. Because the devil was trying so badly to get me to turn away from what God said and to not trust in what God said and to try to create for myself. And guess what would have happened if I would have listened to that? Because my testimony instead is what ended up happening. Is within a couple days of that happening, that situation, God used that for my good. Of I started thinking, oh my gosh, that was the devil trying to trap me and trying to mess with my mind. And if the devil is coming at me this hard, that means that God has something really good to offer. The devil wouldn't be trying me this bad and trying to get me to doubt if it wasn't real. So that actually just threw me further into my faith. And that combined with prayer and a testimony I'd heard, I end up giving my life to Christ. And days after that, there started being financial miracle after miracle, like people randomly walking up and just handing me money. Like I was just walking through the parking lot and someone stops and calls me over and hands me money. And then within a couple weeks of that, I feel the Lord call me to serve and to give the last $10 I have. To be generous, to be giving, and that ends up getting blessed. And I end up not even expecting it, getting all the provision I need to go back to Indiana, hundreds of dollars. The devil, it was like that was like his last real big ditch attempt to get me to doubt God. He could sense that I was right on the cusp of the breakthrough. He was trying to get all this fear, all this doubt, and all this worry. If I would have caved and folded, and backslid and listened to that, I wouldn't have the testimony I do now. And that testimony has impacted multiple people since. I've shared that with multiple people who like have literally cried when they heard in depth the testimony. I know that that testimony has already done multiple things to serve the kingdom of heaven and will continue to do so. My surrender to Christ ended up coming out of that. My leaving tarot card reading fully. My leaving my addiction, because that was also when I threw away any, like my grinder and everything that I still kept in case I ever wanted to go back to smoking. The devil was trying so hard to get me to move back in fear because he knew that something good was going to come out of me waiting on God. It wasn't just God's blessing and his word fulfilled, which is amazing. It was the impact that was going to have on so many other people with the testimony he was about to give me. So I'm telling y'all today that if you feel the enemy coming at you really heavy, it's because he knows that when you continue to move forward in obedience, there is about to be an open door from God. There's about to be a blessing. There is about to be a work from God. If it's something you see in your own life or something that's manifesting in the lives of people around you, God, like I said, God used that not only to help me, but to help so many other people. And I know he will continue to do that. When the devil's trying you so hard, it's because he knows that there is something good coming. Now, I want to be very clear that the devil doesn't know all of your future, but he can tell when something's cooking because he is monitoring spirits out going around everywhere. He can hear conversations that you're not hearing. He can see things that you don't see. He has these little monitoring spirits going around doing his work for him. So when you are put in that position to cave into fear or to trust in God, I'm telling you right now, trust in God. Don't cave into the fear. This is inspirational for me, honestly, y'all. Like having this conversation, just out loud speaking this, I feel like it's breathing life into my situation, is giving me more hope, is giving me more strength. I pray that it's doing that for you today. I know that it can get really annoying when the devil is just speaking lie and fear into you. But what he wants to do is he wants to make you weary. He wants you to grow weary. He wants you to grow tired and to just give in. I'm telling you right now, do not give in. And someone needs to hear today that just because you're presented with the opportunity doesn't mean you're supposed to take it. I was one of those people that used to say, well, if God didn't want me to take the opportunity, he wouldn't have allowed it to present itself to me. That is such a lie. That's not biblical. That's not scriptural. We see that the devil tries to trick and tempt all the time too. The devil will try to present you with opportunities. That doesn't mean that they're good, and it doesn't mean that they're from God. We see when the devil was trying to tempt Jesus when he was in the wilderness, saying, well, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. But Jesus, knowing scripture, knowing the word of God, said, I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm not going to worship you. Like he very quickly turned away. Satan was like, well, I can give you all these things if you just take this action. I'm telling y'all right now, do not be willingly making agreements with Satan. Don't be willingly making agreements with the devil. He's always going to charge you more than you're willing to pay. I'll be so for real with you right now. He's always going to charge you more than you're willing to pay. He is deceptive. And anything that you have to sin to get is not from God. And the thing is, too, is when the devil does things and when he gives you things, I'm using, little quotations right now of gives. Because there's always something with it. It's not just a blessing. There's always a contingency with it. The thing is usually you lose it pretty quickly too. Or it's not going to last. You're going to have to continue to sin to keep it. He's going to keep upping the ante. You're going to have to go further and further and further. See, things from God, yes, they take longer. God takes you the longer route. God makes you heal things first. God makes you build a firm foundation first. So that way when the storm comes, when chaos comes, when problems inevitably come, when different things come, meant to knock it down, it will not fall down because it was built on the firm foundation. If it's from God, no one can take it away. Now, when you get something from the devil, when you get something from Satan, when you decide later on to turn your life around, you best believe the devil's going to cut that out from you real quick to try to punish you. You best believe that once he gives you a thing, he's going to ask you to sin more and more. He's going to ask you to continue. He's going to ask you to do this thing or do that thing to be able to keep it. You're going to find yourself pressured into going in deeper and deeper and deeper. When storms come, when problems come, you notice that the foundation shakes pretty quick. Things start falling off. The siding starts falling off. It collapses. It's because it was built quickly and sloppily, and it wasn't built on a firm foundation. The only firm foundation is the Lord. So whatever it's not worth sinning to get it. It's not worth sinning to keep it. I'm telling y'all right now, take the Jesus way. Submit your life to the Lord. Sometimes it takes longer, but trust that it's going to be done the right way when you're doing it the Jesus way. Honestly, when you're letting God build it, you're getting like the good construction crew. You're getting the firm foundation. It might take a little bit longer, because they're going through and they're checking. That's the thing, you know, when the Lord does something in us, right, when he breaks something off of us, when there's something new that we learn, when there's something new that we develop, God will allow those, our faith, to be tested. He will allow things to happen in our life that test our faith. Faith isn't proven like gold till it's been through the fire. I'm quoting the Brandon Lake song right there. But he will allow our foundation to be shook a little bit. Think about the man who built his house on the rock versus the one who built his house on the sand. The one who was built on the rock, when the rains came, when the winds blew, when the storm happened, the foundation was still standing. But the one who was built in shaky ground and sand, it was all washed away. It was all broken down. And oftentimes when the Lord is building with you, he'll allow storms to come, rains to come, and things that will kind of test your foundation to make sure that you are really rooted in that, to make sure that that is a strong foundation before he adds another layer on top of it. I know it can be annoying. It was really annoying for me at first when I felt like I was getting hit back to back to back, but God's way is higher. And I see when I look back in retrospective, it's a good thing that thing was tested, because what if that was shaky? What if I wasn't firm in it? What if I wasn't solid on it? And we tried to add weight on top of that. We tried to add the next lesson or the next blessing. It would have collapsed under the pressure. Glory be to God. He took it. I'll give y'all a real life example when it comes to just sharing my testimony and how I told y'all I spent so many years of a lot of things happening and I kept very quiet. I kept my side of the story to myself when I knew that lies were going on, when I knew that rumors, when I knew that all of these attacks were going on. I wouldn't say anything. I would keep my mouth quiet most of the time. And I felt the Lord, when I was especially like new at really giving my life to him, I felt him say, keep your mouth shut right now. Don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to speak up on things. Allow me to defend you. And now, in the season I am in with the Lord, and over time, when I'm just pursuing the kingdom of God, there will be certain testimonies I feel him call me to share. And there will be certain prophetic words that he calls me to deliver and to release. There have been times when he's brought to mind a testimony but told me, don't share it yet. It's not the time. I'm allowing him to do it in his timing, not my timing. Not my timing. So even now that I'm in a season where I feel like he's really telling me it's time to, you know, start sharing these things more. It's time to step out of the darkness. I am allowing him to guide my steps. I'm waiting on him to guide me first. And sure, that might take a little longer. I could, if I wanted to, post like a 5-hour long YouTube video of my whole life story, but that's not what God's calling me to do. That I know of. He's not calling me to address it all in 0.2 seconds. I'm trusting in him and his timing. And I have seen how each time it has fit perfectly into the season. It has brought about something. It has done a different work in each way. So I'm telling y'all today, just to get back to the root of the message, is don't give in to the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear will try to chase you down. And you know, it's interesting with that person that I told y'all about earlier, that they, you know, started giving into fear and saying those things to me after listening. They actually acknowledged that later on their own volition. When they apologized to me later, they were like, hey, look, I realize now I was giving into the spirit of fear. They said I was falling back into the old pattern of a spirit of fear, and I recognize that, and I'm sorry. Glory be to God. God is good. So I see that it's not, the spirit of fear isn't just coming after me, it's coming after other people. So I know that this message is going to be helpful for other people to hear. I'm telling y'all today. there's a fear, and I do want to touch on this, because one thought that I found myself going back to when I get hit with a lot of fears and worries, and is actually what I found myself gravitating to today. My brain starts thinking, what am I supposed to be doing right now? Because one of the biggest lies that the devil, I find, is constantly whispering in my ear. That's the thing, is when the enemy is whispering and planning thoughts, he makes it sound like your own voice. The more I started thinking, I was like, this isn't my voice. These aren't my thoughts. God already told me what to do. You know, there were voices saying, in my head, the best way I can explain it is, I felt like it was being placed on my spirit a little bit of like, you're supposed to be doing more. You're supposed to be doing something different. You're supposed to be doing something else. But then I'd feel kind of contradictive. No, you're fine doing what you're doing. And that in itself was creating a bit of fear and creating a bit of worry. And I know that so many people have that on their walk with Christ when they're waiting on the Lord to do something and he's telling them to just wait. And they start thinking, am I supposed to be doing something? Is God expecting me to be doing something right now? Is there more I'm supposed to be doing? It doesn't help, y'all, that like when I was opening up social media and just trying to passively scroll, I kept getting hit with video after video saying, God is waiting on you to move. God is waiting on you to do something. And I shut out social media pretty quick after that because I was like, I'm not feeding into all of that. I'm going to lock in with the Lord. And what he has taught me to do when you do not know what to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and trust these things will be added onto you. So when I'm in a space of I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I go to seeking God, which is through reading scripture and through praying and through just trying to listen to what the Lord is guiding me to do. And oftentimes he'll lead you back to the last thing he told you to do. I cannot tell y'all how many times in the past year when I don't know what to do and I'm like, I'm praying to the Lord and I feel him say, go, what was the last thing I told you to do? Go back to that. There's no new instructions here. Go back to what I just told you to do. And oftentimes when I feel I've heard from the Lord, I'll write it down in my journal, write it down in my notes, and I'll go back and look at it and see that, you know, God said, just focus on seeking me, focus on serving, focus on praying more. Like it'll be something like that, or trust that the Lord is going to bring it through and just do what I can to flee temptation. I went through a season where those were my instructions for about 3 months, was flee temptation and flee sin and seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And what that looked like was every day for me, like just trying to get in scripture and prayer. And when I would feel nudges from the Lord, listening to those nudges. And when temptations and opportunities would come in for me to backslide, I would flee those. And that was my instruction for like 3 months. And what I felt today, when I started feeling that overwhelm, I went to scripture reading and I went to prayer. And it was while I was praying that I felt the Lord bring to my mind, remember, I called you to record this podcast episode. And when I thought about it, I did do that this morning, but it got deleted. Like it wasn't recording. And I just kind of cast it to the wayside. And I was like, oh, Lord, you did give me instructions. I have yet to fulfill those. I need to go ahead and fulfill those now. And here I am fulfilling it. And honestly, y'all, I was a little bit anxious starting up this podcast episode. Fear was coming at me. And the more we're going throughout this episode, the more it's fallen off and broken off of me. I feel like I'm overcoming the spirit of fear, discussing it here with you guys. And what's interesting is I feel like the spirit of fear kind of chasing me down today was a reminder that I needed to get in the word and I needed to record this episode addressing the fear. And I want to make it very clear again. I said this in the beginning of episode that the spirit of fear isn't from the Lord. Yes, the Lord is going to warn you. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you. You're going to have discernment when things aren't right. But he's not whispering fearful things in your ear and paranoid things all the time. He's not trying to keep you in a state of fear. That is not the Lord. Now, I honestly wish we had more to talk about, but y'all, I feel like that is the gist of what I was being led to discuss in this episode. Hopefully, we'll be recording more episodes soon, so I do ask that you subscribe so that way you don't miss the next podcast upload. And I do ask that y'all share this podcast episode with a friend, share it with a family member, share it with somebody that God is placing on your heart to share it with them, share it with someone. Share it on social media. The sharing does a lot more than y'all realize. The sharing really helps get this podcast out there. I'm not doing a lot of independent advertising right now. So every time y'all have been sharing it, it really is so helpful. And I thank you for sharing it and for just helping get this podcast out there to those who have ears to hear. So I pray that y'all have a blessed day. And I will talk to you soon. God bless.